Hello, welcome once again to Leto's Law. Today we're going to talk about something that's been happening more and more in the news, and it's going to continue accelerating and happening more and more in the news because of advances in DNA. And this is a very interesting story that crossed my desk today out of South Carolina. A woman was recently arrested based on DNA evidence because she was linked to a baby that was abandoned 29 years ago. And they didn't get the DNA from her. They got the DNA from the baby and then from people using those DNA genealogy websites. So, like I said, I think it's going to start happening more and more. I've heard of a few stories already like this, but this is one I think it's interesting because of the length of time which has passed and the fact that normally we hear about this in like rape cases or occasionally in a murder case, but this is a slightly different type of a murder case, I think. Brooke Graham was recently arrested after DNA submitted to family genealogy websites helped police find and arrest the mother of a baby that they say was born alive but abandoned and left to die in a box in a vacant South Carolina field 29 years ago. The DNA led detectives to the baby's probable father, who then told police that Brooke Graham was the baby's likely mother. And this is according to Greenville County Police Chief Ken Miller. Graham, who is now 53, was arrested Wednesday and charged with homicide by neglect, which carries a possible life sentence in South Carolina. She had a court-ordered DNA test, but refused to talk to detectives about the case. Every detective on the Greenville Police Force back in February 1990 worked on the case of the baby who became known as Julie Valentine. The baby was 6.5 pounds, they believe born breathing, but not in a hospital, and was found with her umbilical cord still attached, wrapped in newspaper inside a vacuum cleaner box along with trash, including an old sofa. This is according to Miller at a news conference on Thursday. The box matched the model of vacuum cleaner that Graham and the probable father had bought before the baby was abandoned, according to the arrest warrant. And, you know, that's one of the things that's interesting. And again, I understand this is trivial compared to the big picture here. But I've read a lot of arrest warrants. And people watch a lot of TV and they know that these high, you know, tech CSI type shows always talk about like, you know, DNA evidence and blood spatter evidence and, you know, all this high tech stuff. But you'd be surprised at the mundane details of a case that can actually hang somebody up. And one of them, like, for instance, here is the baby was put in a box and dumped in the trash. And they can link that box to the brand of vacuum cleaner that the defendant had at the time. And I doubt that she was in the right state of mind doing these things in the first place. But the fact that that vacuum cleaner box can be linked back to her also could be a very, very important fact. In fact, it was so important that it was put into the arrest warrant. Miller said there's a field and it's undeveloped and there's a pile of debris and it didn't stand out. And so as a result, they think the baby died shortly after being abandoned, but the child wasn't found for 3 days. The man who found her on February 13th, 1990, was picking flowers for his wife for Valentine's Day. And the holiday, combined with the name of the wife of one of the detectives who worked tirelessly on the case, gave the baby her name as Julie Valentine. The investigation continues and more charges may be filed. Miller credited the baby's probable father for leading them to Graham, but said detectives still aren't sure how much he knew about what happened to his daughter. Both continued to live in the Greenville area after 1990, the chief said. Graham has 2 adult children, and investigators are reviewing how they were raised as a part of the case. Graham is currently being held without bond. Authorities said she requested a lawyer after her arrest, but jail and court records did not indicate if she'd retained an attorney yet. Graham and the probable father were living together as a couple at the time. He told detectives that she was the only one he had a sexual relationship with at the time, according to an arrest warrant. So again, they linked the baby to his DNA. And so him saying she's the only one I was with at that time kind of narrows it down. Authorities do not know why the baby was abandoned. Sean Galloway Williams, executive director of the Julie Valentine Center, said, "We grieve the loss of what could have been. All the firsts Julie Valentine couldn't experience." That center, the Julie Valentine Center, is there to help victims of sexual assault and child abuse in Greenville, and was renamed for the abandoned baby in 2011. Miller said DNA testing and other modern technology has been a boon to helping solve cold cases. He said he has no problems with using DNA from genealogy sites to help put criminals behind bars and give some comfort to people who've been hurt by unsolved cases for decades. And he points out people are consenting to connect and identify their lineage, and people are consenting to public use of their DNA. And that's one of those things where, you know, people who are, you know, privacy advocates talk about this, and they say, you know, you understand when you give up your DNA to a genealogy website that it could be used for other purposes. And most people go, well, what other purposes? And until they can clone me, I don't see anything that could come out of that could harm me. Well, it's not that it's going to harm you. It might help them catch a criminal or two. And we've heard about these cases now where they've actually had DNA from what they believe to be the perpetrator at a crime scene, and they run it through whatever database they've got, and nothing pops up. And so they then run it through a genealogy website, and they get these matches where it says, well, this is not the person who did it, but this is a relative of the person who did it. And they can then often triangulate using the relatives to figure this stuff out. I believe the Golden State Killer in California, I think that's how they caught him. And so it's interesting, but I suspect we're going to be seeing more and more of this. The question is, how many of these cases did they save, you know, enough material from to test the DNA of today? And, you know, you'd be surprised. I've mentioned before the Timothy Masters case I wrote a book about. And the woman was killed in that case. And they had saved a bunch of evidence from the trial. And among the things of evidence they saved were what the victim was wearing, the clothes she was wearing when she got killed. And they found, in places you'd expect, DNA that wasn't hers, but that appeared to belong to whoever it was that killed her. As these techniques get developed, it's one thing, but the bigger thing is these genealogy websites are actually creating a big database of DNA. And, you know, it used to be that you know, if your fingerprints got in the system, that's the only thing that could trip you up. And I'm just letting you know, like, for instance, I've never been convicted of a crime, but my fingerprints are in the system. And that's because to become an attorney, they fingerprint you. Number one, to see if you've committed a crime in the past. But number two, just to confirm that you are, in fact, who you say you are. There have been some crazy cases of people, you know, taking the bar for somebody else. And I suspect there's probably been an attorney out there who actually wasn't who they claimed to be. But I got fingerprinted. And I'm back in the days when they actually inked your fingers and you put them on the cards one at a time. And I did that, and, you know, that's one of the steps that you take to become an attorney. So my fingerprints are in the system, but my DNA is not. But the question is, have any of my relatives put their DNA in the system? As you can imagine, I probably share a lot of DNA with my brothers. Obviously, share certain DNA characteristics of my mother and my father, you know. And then the question is, you know, if they've done that, or, you know, their siblings, or, you know, whatever. So it's going to get interesting. But I think we're going to see more and more of these kinds of cases as time goes by. Now, do keep in mind that the statute of limitations will cause a lot of those kinds of crimes to fall off the map or off the radar because, you know, the statute of limitations could run out on a crime and then they can solve it. And it's too late to do anything about it. But this obviously was, you know, postured as a murder case. And in most states, murder has no statute of limitations. So you can find a murderer 100 years later, if they're still around, and prosecute them for a murder if you have the evidence to do it. So that's a situation out of South Carolina where the DNA led cops to the mom who is alleged to have abandoned her baby, and they didn't do it with her DNA. They did it with the father's DNA. It's fascinating stuff. It's where we're headed with modern science. Questions or comments, put them below. Otherwise, talk to you later. Bye-bye.